This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. Now, again, if you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and my website address at the close of the program. And you will find the website to be helpful. It has this program on it. You can re-listen to it there. And it has quite a little other information on it that you will find helpful. But again, we're working with 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, which says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." And of course, these, as we've mentioned, are sort of the last words of Peter as he closes his second epistle. And in order to understand the grace of our Lord Jesus, we have to grow in knowledge of him. And we've been doing that by looking at Old Testament prophecies that are fulfilled in the New Testament. And we've come to a section of prophecies that have to do with his reproach and with his rejection. And I have been just extremely moved by the grace that the Lord showed when he was taken and falsely accused before the chief priests and the high priest, and when he was falsely accused before Pilate and before Herod. But more than that, when he was taken out to be crucified, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is remarkable. Now, grace, of course, is really associated with a free gift. It's associated with getting something we don't deserve, but it's associated with graciousness. And today, we're taught to defend ourselves. We're taught to not allow people to take advantage of us. We're taught self-defense. And while all these things are the natural response to the enmity that is in the world, it was not the response of the Lord. And we've looked at how the Lord was hated without a cause. We've looked at how he would be crucified with criminals. And now we're going to be looking at the fact that they gave him wine to drink when he was thirsty. So we come to this 32nd prophecy. The Messiah would be given vinegar to drink. And all of these things are associated with his suffering. All of these things are associated with his grace. And all of these things are associated with the fact that he was just plain different than you or I am. And as we begin to look at that, we're thankful that the Lord has told us that we can have a nature like the Lord's if we're born again. We understand that we'll still have that old nature that will be there to haunt us. And it's like some have said, we can either feed the new nature or we can feed that old nature. And it seems to me that today, even as Christians, often we're feeding the old nature, the nature of vindictiveness, the nature of retribution, the nature of just being everything that the world would consider to be, make a man out of us, I guess is the word I'm trying to say, but even women display some of these attributes as well, and they're so contrary to the attribute of grace that the Lord was willing to show for us at the cross. And so when we come to this 32nd prophecy that we're going to look at, we find that in Psalm 69, the Lord would be given vinegar to drink. They call it gall there. But I'm going to read from verse 20, which says, "Reproach has broken mine heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none." And then he says, "They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." I'm sorry, they did give him vinegar. The gall was given to him earlier. And we find out that he would not take the gall. That was actually the myrrh that was given to him in order to deaden his senses. He would not take that. But nevertheless, he did take the vinegar. And then we come to Matthew 27 and see the fulfillment of this. It says, when they had come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, the place of a skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink. See, that was the drink that they gave him that would have dulled his senses. But in John 19, we find out that he did take the vinegar. So John 19 says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine or vinegar, and put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished, and bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. So he did not receive the gall or the myrrh, but he did receive the vinegar. And it appears that the myrrh would have dulled his senses to his pain. The vinegar only satisfied his natural thirst, and he would not avoid any of the pain that was associated with bearing our sin. It's interesting in John 19 and verse 30 that the Lord said, it is finished. And so as we look at this particular statement, in the Greek it's one word, it's a word of finality, finished, and he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. Now, what was finished there? Well, we can see that the crucifixion was finished as far as the Lord was concerned. The pain and the suffering of the cross was finished there. The work that the Lord had been given to do in so far as redeeming us was finished there. And there have been many people who have been reached and saved because of that statement. It is finished. Many people are trying to finish the work themselves that saves, when in fact the work was already finished at the cross of Calvary. At the cross, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So he was the sin bearer. In the Old Testament, many a lamb, many a goat, many a bull had been offered in sacrifice to the Lord in an act of worship. But the real fulfillment of all of those Old Testament types is seen in the Lord. Even John the Baptist could point the Lord out and say, this is the Lamb of God that bears away the sin of the world. And so the work that saves was finished. And friend, I want you to understand that you can add nothing to that work. You can do nothing to deserve it. You can add nothing to that work. The only thing you can do is receive it by simple trusting faith in what the Lord says. And so it is finished. The work is finished. Now, that doesn't mean that the Lord is done with us when we're saved. That's why we've been looking at this statement, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. As I said before, when we come to know the Lord, the Spirit of God indwells us, it seals us, and it begins to mold us into a Christ likeness that we never had before. We still have that old nature. We still have our old problems. We still have our old temptations. But insofar as our lives are concerned now, we have the Spirit of God, and we are told not to be conformed to this world. That's what the world wants to do. It wants to mold us into its image. But we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. And the perfect will of God is that we be transformed. And if we're transformed, that means we'll be changed from something that does not please God to something that does. And we can grow in this grace that is associated with the Lord Jesus Christ. We can grow in graciousness. We can show love to others that was not shown to the Lord, but that the Lord showed to us. And so, friend, this is very important when he says it is finished. And you'll notice he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now, many people have pointed out that most people give up their spirit and then their head bows, but not in the Lord's case. He bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. And so all that men tried to do to the Lord did not really take his life. The Lord voluntarily gave up his spirit when the work was finished. Now, I realize there's still still more to come in that there's going to be a resurrection. There's more to come in that the Lord is going to come again. But insofar as satisfying God with regard to our sin, the work has been completed. And all we need to do is to believe it, to have faith in it, to trust in that finished work, and we too will have our sins forgiven. Now, when we look at this matter of the finished work, we know that the Lord had suffered many things, and that's what I just can't comprehend. Today we see bullying on every hand. We've dealt with that on this program. And we see people who are very caustic in their relationship with others, critical. There's very little graciousness shown to one another publicly and sometimes privately. But the Lord did show that graciousness even when he was accepting the pain of the crucifixion. And one aspect of that pain was emotional and spiritual. We've read, "Reproach hath broken mine heart." This morning I was listening to a radio program where they were talking about how that there are certain children in school that we often say have cooties, and we don't know what their problems are, why they seem to be different, why they seem to be dirty, why they seem to have why they don't seem to fit in. And oftentimes it's because of what's taking place in their home environment, and we don't know that. And so they are reproached, and in many cases they're dealt with unjustly. And that's at the nature of a human to do that. It's just like when chickens draw blood on another chicken, they'll all go after that little, particularly if it's a little chicken, they'll go after it and continue to hurt it because they've already drawn blood. And it seems like if one person rejects somebody who's just a little different, everybody falls in line and wants to reject them as well. And the Lord experienced that kind of rejection, that kind of reproach. The crowd that had wanted to make him a king on Palm Sunday was likely in many cases the same people and the same crowd that cried, "Crucify, crucify," on the nearly a week later on the Friday when they had took him before Pilate and wanted him to be crucified. So there was emotional pain associated with the cross, and then there was the physical pain. He was willing to undergo the whipping. He was willing to undergo the crown of thorns. He was willing to undergo the nails and the suffocation is the word I want. The lack of being able to breathe at the crucifixion. He took all of that physical suffering as well. And there's a song that keeps coming to my mind when I think about this, and I'm going to read you part of it. It says, "They nailed my Lord upon the tree and left him dying there. Through love he suffered there for me. 'Twas love beyond compare. Crucified, crucified, and nailed upon the tree with pierced hands and feet and side. For you, for me." The third verse of this says, "Forgive them, O forgive," he cried, then bowed his sacred head. "O Lamb of God, my sacrifice, for me, thy blood was shed." Now I can say that, can you? Crucified, crucified, and nailed upon the tree with pierced hands and feet inside. For you, for me. Now, our Heavenly Father, we do pray for thy blessing upon this program and upon those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love and for thy salvation. We give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.